Hello, people, and welcome to today's episode of Pause Menu. My name is Will.
And I'm Ethan.
And today we will be bringing you the week in gaming news.
Indeed.
For the week of December 4th? December 4th. Yeah, December 4th. Okay, so as always, let's just start with what we played during the week. Ethan, what have you played?
Modern Warfare 3, as usual. I was playing Halo Wars. Steven and I were doing Halo 3 and Halo 3 ODST on Legendary.
So how far did you get on that? Because I am deeply terrified of Halo 3 Legendary.
On Halo 3 and Legendary, I think we're on the fourth mission. And on ODST, we're, I think, also on the fourth mission. So not too far in.
I mean, how is it? Because I've never tried Legendary before. Like, how is it playing in that difficulty?
Difficult as fuck. Yeah, especially since we're trying to get those big achievements. We had his friends also play with us for a little bit. The one that we really want to try to get is the 4-player co-op on Legendary with Iron.
Wow. Wait, what, do you mean the skull, right?
Yeah.
What does that do? Because I'm not really familiar with the skull.
I forgot what Iron does. I can look it up real quick. I know it can't be good for our health.
No, it definitely can't be.
You know. So let me just look it up real quick.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Because I'm not really sure.
No, that's fine. I'm actually interested myself, so bam. Mm-hmm. It's a nice way to start off.
The Halo 3's Iron Skull. Where is it? Come on, goddammit. A skull marked with a hammer. Effect, if you die while playing solo, you will respawn at the very beginning of the level. If any player dies while playing co-op, all players will respawn to the last checkpoint.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So that means points multiplier with it, so.
Yeah, but if one person dies, that means everyone starts from the beginning.
No. If it's co-op, then we start the last checkpoint. Well, he'll start the last checkpoint, you know.
And everyone else will still be, like, ahead of him.
Yeah. But if you keep moving, he'll teleport to where you're at, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but that has to be a little inconvenient, no? Because you guys have to reach another checkpoint, assuming you do, in order for him to transport. If he doesn't, then he just has to do it the old-fashioned way.
Let me tell you what was really annoying about playing that shit on Legendary. Mm-hmm. Walking into a room full of brutes and two hammer brutes. And all you've got is a submachine gun and a pistol.
I mean, I would just,
shit your pants.
I mean, if you had a plasma pistol, you could just easily charge it up.
No, not a plasma pistol. A regular UNSC pistol.
Oh, then that's a problem.
That's more than a problem. But let's see. I actually went back to Modern Warfare 2 with Michael.
How are the servers?
They're still running perfectly, actually. Really? I mean, we had one problem with the very beginning of getting into a server, but after that it was pretty fun. I mean, we still got it.
So when you played in a match, did you see any, you know, type of hackery, sorcery, magic?
Oh, no, it's the same shit. You know, a couple campers here, quick scopers, but I mean, my first game was 42-3.
Wow, okay.
After not playing for a long time. And that was on what was that fucking map with the tunnel everyone likes to camp in?
Oh, I know what map you're talking about. I just don't know the name.
Yeah, neither do I. And I don't really care.
Wow. But
it was fun, you know. I mean, what about you, man? What games did you play?
As you know, I've tried playing Halo 3 with you guys, but that was a gigantic fail.
Oh, yeah. It was your connection, because the minute I boosted the connection between me and Steven, it was, you know, running perfectly.
Really, that's weird, because at one point when we were trying to play, it was running super smoothly, and then all of a sudden it's just like frozen. We're back to the main menu. But overall, I mean, I've been playing a lot of 3DS lately. To be honest with you, I've been playing a lot of Super Mario 3D Land.
Pardon me, give me a moment. I got someone's texting me. Okay. Yeah, you can hear the TARDIS in the background.
Oh God. Well, okay. In the meantime, I'll just keep going. Keep going.
I was just going to say, remember when Steven called me and asked me, did I get his text message about 20 minutes ago?
Wow.
I just got it.
Oh, now you got it 25 minutes later. Well, to go back, I've been playing Super Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7. I've been playing a lot of Madden football for some reason on my 3DS. I left my PS3 barren because I've just been, somewhat busy this past week. I managed to put in some time with Modern Warfare 3, as you clearly know. And that's really been it. I haven't had a whole bunch of time, but now that, my classes are done, all I have to do now are finals to study for them. So I'm basically going to be free after the 20th, because that's the day of my last final. So after that, I'll just have literally half a month free to myself because I don't go back to school until the 17th of January
Awesome.
or some shit like that. But that
Well, yeah, that's because I remember I actually knew he was going to be free because Steven and I are planning on doing an event for trying to get four players for Halo 3 Legendary. We're trying to get people who don't have 1,000 points for Hayabusa body armor, so we're trying to get it.
Yeah, I wanted to try out, to be honest, I wanted to try out Halo 3 on Legendary, but I don't want to do it by myself because I know I will fail miserably.
Yeah, you might
So,
want to get a box of the pens with you.
you see, no wonder. And so I hope to do it in the future sometime when my internet connection stops sucking dick, but that'll come maybe later. So with that out of the way, let's just dive right into the week in news because we had a pretty boring week up until yesterday. If you will, you can start off, kick things off.
Okay, well, the first topic we're talking about today is the VGAs. For those of you who've seen it, you know what we're going to talk about. For those of you who haven't seen it, we're going to fill you in. If you haven't seen our latest post, there's two posts up on our site at theaverageotaku.wordpress.com, and you can read those. You did one, and I did one right after you.
That is correct.
So where do you want to start off with this?
Let's just start. I mean, let's just kick off the first of all with the awards, because overall they seem to be on target. Let me just point out a few highlights here. Game of the Year went to Elder Scrolls V: Skyrim, when the nominees were Batman: Arkham City, Legend of Zelda: Skyward Sword, Portal 2, and Uncharted 3. Studio of the Year also went to Bethesda for working on Skyrim. I kind of that one is a little questionable to me, but I'll go back on it later. We have the best 360 game being Arkham City. Best PS3 game, it's pretty obvious. Uncharted 3, you don't have to worry about that. Wii game, obviously Skyward Sword, because there really was nothing else for the year. You have best shooter. This might have been a little tricky. It was Modern Warfare 3 came out to be the winner, with nominees such as Battlefield 3, Gears of War 3, and for some reason Rage was there. I don't know why. You have best multiplayer going to Portal 2, which is very
If I may, interject on this one, because you forgot something on your post there too. It was also best PC game, which you noted, but it also won best male voice actor and best female voice actress.
And as well as best DLC.
Correct.
So Portal 2, to be safe, it went home with a lot of awards. Not to undermine it. But as far as multiplayer goes, I'm a little that kind of raised some eyebrows because the nominees were pretty tough. You had Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare 3, and Gears of War 3 as nominees. So, maybe that might be a little questionable. Moving on from that, you have the best independent game going to Minecraft, in my opinion, a landslide, because up until now it's been an incredibly popular game, and just recently it came out of its beta status to become a full-fledged game. You have the best graphics going to Uncharted 3, no question. That game looks absolutely gorgeous, I can tell you right now. To highlight here, the most anticipated game, which is a little surprising, well, not a little surprising, but kind of surprising, went to Mass Effect 3. When the nominees were BioShock Infinite, a game I'm really looking forward to, Diablo 3, a game I don't give a fuck about, Halo 4, and The Last Guardian from the guys that brought you, I'm trying to remember, Shadow of the Colossus and Ico. And the trailer of the year went to the E3 2011 trailer for Assassin's Creed Revelations, when they were a a fuckload of trainers I don't want to go over.
So,
and those are the main highlights, but I will let you go from here. There were some game premieres. So
yeah, so before we go to game premieres, we're just going to note that The Legend of Zelda has become the first ever inductee to the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Yay!
So, awesome. 25 years of game playing and we're still loving it. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
The world premieres were Metal Gear Solid Rising, which I love the trailer for that, BioShock Infinite, Diablo 3, Fortnite.
You're right. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Transformers Fall of Cybertron, The Amazing Spider-Man, Alan Wake American Nightmare,
Oh, my God. I'm pumped for that. Oh, God.
Rainbow Six Patriots. That's the one I'm pumped for.
Mm-hmm.
BioWare's Command & Conquer 2. Mass Effect 3, which, as we know, world's most anticipated game. And finally, Naughty Dog's Last of Us.
Yeah, that's the game that I'm really looking forward to.
And it had a sort of Uncharted-esque type thing to it, I kind of thought.
Maybe. I mean, obviously, you might have with the creatures that they showed in the trailer, you might have some survival aspect to it.
Yeah.
Maybe even a horror aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! Anything they make is gold. So yeah. I'm just hoping that's gonna be fucking fantastic.
You know, bring a change of pants when you buy that game because.
Oh hell yeah!
For those of you who have been keeping up in the news, there was some rumors that there might be something about Half-Life 3 in the VGAs. There's nothing.
There really is nothing.
But we have some news on Half-Life 3 later on today, so, you know, don't get your panties in a bunch. Don't start crying yet.
During the VGAs, you also had some trailers for apparently a series that people thought was dead. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD came out of left field and said, hey, we're relevant. So what it basically is an HD version of the first two Pro Skaters in the franchise. That's basically it. But based on what we've seen, it looks pretty good. So, you know, hopefully going back to the roots, Tony Hawk will do, the series will do pretty good. And another trailer that came out of the VGAs was Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
Yeah.
Now, holy fuck, this made me wet my pants.
I'm not a big Transformers fan, but I fell in love with the trailer.
Like, honestly, in my personal opinion, that was the best trailer for anything that was shown during the night. I know Last of Us was a pretty damn good trailer. So was Alan Wake's American Nightmare. And let's not forget Metal Gear Solid Rising.
Let's not forget Rainbow Six Patriots. Watch a guy strapped with C4 fall out of a fucking window and blow up rush hour traffic is fucking hilarious.
Now, that's going to be... I'm afraid that game is going to be extremely controversial when it comes out, because the point of the story is basically the core is homegrown terrorism, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have these grassroots activists that are taking things into their own hands now because they've seen that the government has failed them in a way. So instead of letting them run things, they decided to take it upon their hands in a violent manner. So I think that will definitely stir up some controversy, especially.
Yeah, let's wait. I mean, I'm guaranteeing at least 1 month after this game comes out, you're gonna have the fucking politicians on everyone's ass.
Oh no, not even after. I mean, before too. I mean, it isn't slated to come out until 2013. So until then, you might see definitely a few politicians all up like, okay, we
Hillary
shouldn't,
Clinton.
You know, pass this. Yeah. Oh, especially Hillary Clinton. I mean, Jack Thompson is like irrelevant now. So, and it's definitely gonna be controversial in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. Of course. I mean, the trailer alone probably has already set off controversy.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we see a guy strapped with a bomb blowing up rush hour traffic.
And there goes the 1%.
Okay. So yeah, let's just wait.
And I mean, overall, man, what did you think of the choices for the awards?
I thought that they were well thought out, at least from last year's VGAs. I mean, holy shit.
Yeah, that last year's VGAs. I mean, how do you have Black Ops as one of the nominees for Game of the Year?
Ah!
That was my brother, by the way, who sounded like a complete whale.
I mean, he's got the right idea. I mean, Black Ops. I mean,
I mean, I have the winner for last year in front of me. I mean, you had some good choices here and there. You had Red Dead Redemption for the game of the year. That was spot on, for sure. But then you had some questionable choices. Like, for example, you had Black Ops nominated for Game of the Year for some reason. You had, let's see, I mean, Wii was pretty weak last year. Best Shooter went to Black Ops when the nominees were included Halo Reach and Bioshock 2, which was a little, it's a little
question. I thought Halo should have won it, really.
Yeah, I personally think Halo Reach should have won it. It was a beautiful combination of great single player, great multiplayer. Awesome,
extremely fun. I don't know how they did it, but they made Forge even better.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, so, when you thought it couldn't even get any better, it got better.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you had some questionable choices here and there. Overall, it was okay, but this year I think they rectified things just, you know, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I still have a problem with, for example, Portal 2 being the best multiplayer game.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, Modern Warfare 3, I mean, slightly better.
I mean... To be fair, I've never played Portal 2. I have not played it yet, but I'm just judging it based on what I've played. And I've based played on what PC. I've played... Wait, what did you think about it?
I'm not really a big fan of it. I mean, I've only played it a couple times, and then I really just stopped playing it. I mean, it has an awesome single player, but that's what it's anchored down to, okay? You know, surprising you with the single player shininess. Multiplayer is sort of like, you know, driving a beat up Chrysler 300, you know, through a white neighborhood. It's just not that great.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, it was a little questionable for me since I've never played Portal 2. So I'm just judging it again based on what I've played, and based on what I've played, I would have gone with Modern Warfare 3 because I mean. Even though people will have problems with Modern Warfare 3, the bottom line is it's an arcadey game. So that means, you know, just about anyone can pick up the controller and learn the mechanics extremely fast. Unlike a game like Battlefield 3, where you actually have to sit down and take some time out for you to learn the mechanics, because it plays totally different
than
Modern Warfare 3. And I know this from experience. Overall, though, the awards were, I have to agree with it, but. I mean, one thing that really annoyed me, I don't know if this annoyed you. Remember that one part with the guy in the YouTube video that complained?
Yes.
And then when they finally introduced Skyward Sword as a nomination for Game of the Year, he's like, oh, okay, you kind of saved yourself here. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I know, right? You know.
Oh, my God, man. I mean, you have to realize, you have to realize this, that people fail to realize, trolls, especially trolls, fail to realize one important thing. This is an award show, so that means it's going to be opinionated. You have people's opinions here. So you can't really, I mean, who gives you the right to downtrod their opinion? Everyone has a right to their opinion. And an award show is nothing more than a glorified opinion.
Yeah.
Because you have people picking Skyrim. You have a panel of judges picking these games, and they have their own separate opinions. What
really pissed me off was that he didn't bring any constructive criticism to the party. His entire video was just huge amounts of saliva and bullshit comments. Okay?
Pretty much.
If you're going to critique something, at least have valid reasons to what your opinion is and why other people should change their opinions. Mm-hmm. Don't just yell into a camera and think that's going to solve the problem, because it never does.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, as soon as he starts yelling, it's like, oh, okay, now we get, well, now we'll give you a few seats to sit next to the president. It's like, what? Like, if that guaranteed me a seat next to the fucking president of Spike TV, I should have bitched on a YouTube video too.
You know?
Because that's basically what it was.
That's another problem, okay? You've got these overreactive trolls meeting these people, okay? But it's the community playing these games and actually bringing constructive criticism to blogs, vlogs, you know, YouTube videos at large. Yeah. They don't even get noticed.
No.
Okay? So, you know, I think they should actually swap places. Fine, you know, this Peter Dore, he's a good one that does videos. Have Peter Dore sit next to the president of Spike TV, you know?
Yeah.
The angry video game nerd.
Oh, yeah, duh. That I would actually support that choice.
Hell, I mean, Ashens doesn't do video games, but if he did, he could sit next to the president, so.
Oh yeah, I think he's deserving for sure. But I mean, I don't know. It was just a little thing that kind of disappointed me. But I just want to shift gears here to the games themselves that were shown off. One highlight I wanted to note was a Metal Gear Solid Rising. First of all, it's been retitled. It's now called Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance, and instead of being developed by Kojima Productions, who usually make the Metal Gear Solid games, it's being developed by Platinum Games. If that doesn't ring a bell, they developed Bayonetta earlier in the year, and personally, Bayonetta is fucking awesome, even though I'm stuck in one part. And they changed a few things around. For example, when they first announced Rising, they placed it in between Metal Gear Solid 2 and 4, telling you how Raiden got to the way he was in MGS4. Instead, it's going to take place after Metal Gear Solid 4. The reason being is that because the developer is new to Metal Gear Solid, obviously, because they've never developed one before, they don't want Kojima Productions doesn't want them to fuck up the timeline. And to put it short, they don't want people to be confused, because they might create some canon that they people never heard of before, and all of a sudden they're like, "Whoa, whoa, where is this in the Metal Gear Solid timeline?" And so Kojima Productions, they don't really want that happening. So instead, it's going to take place after MGS4. Other than the trailer, which showed, a bunch of people and getting sliced up and, riding with a
I think I'll put it
sword.
to you like this. It's how can I explain it? Transformers meets Devil May Cry, the entire Devil May Cry franchise. I mean, did you see that trailer? Did you actually look at that trailer? I mean, I felt like it was Dante on steroids for a moment.
Well, I mean, that's where I'm actually having high hopes for this game, because I know Bayonetta, it's not it's kind of a button masher a little bit, but at its core, it was just extremely fun action, and it was extremely stylish, which fits perfectly with Metal Gear Solid because it's all about style and how it looks. And I don't know, I mean, it seems like a pretty good fit, and I think. I mean, when we first saw the trailer back in 2010 during E3, we saw this trailer that made Raiden look very methodical and very, with the cuts, it was very thought out. For this trailer, it was just like hack slash, hack slash, hack slash, bam, action, boom. And so it's like, that in that way, I think it might be more fun, in my opinion. But again, we have to wait until it comes out. We still don't know a solid time date, though. We do know it's coming out sometime next year. Yeah. I mean, in short, the VGAs were okay. They were pretty good. The host was funny. He was Zachary Le Levi Levi Le Levy Levy. He stars in the show Chuck, which is why he is kind of funny. And then you have random people like Charlie Sheen introducing the
Why
best
is Charlie
shooter.
Sheen on there?
And LL Cool J came out for a little bit for some reason. I don't know why. Charlie Sheen, I think you saw that part, right? Charlie
Yeah, I
Sheen
saw the
came
whole thing.
out and he introduced the best shooter. And I was like, why are you here, Charlie? I mean, how much do they pay you?
Did you see the way he looks? I mean, I think he missed his last Botox appointment.
No, he pretty much fall or something on his way there. But overall, the VGAs were enjoyable. That's basically, no one has extremely high expectations for these kind of shows. But in my opinion, they met them. It was okay. It was fun to watch. It was okay. Deliver some laughs, and it shows some premieres that we were generally surprised about. So that's. I mean, other than. The Last of Us and Command and Conquer Generals 2. I mean, it was a pretty good show all around. So, with that out of the way, let's just dive right into the actual news that happened during the week. So, keep going.
So the first thing we're going to talk about, well, second thing actually we're going to talk about is the Xbox Live dashboard update. Now, despite a 12-hour delay, the new dashboard update has been released, a couple days ago, whatever. The new features, which are interesting, include extra social apps, Cloud storage for game saves and profiles, new TV, movie, and sports apps, and a new design similar to what is seen on Windows Phone 7. What do you think about this new update being released?
Well, you know, before I dive into my thoughts, let me just share a little story here with you people. I tried downloading it the day of. You know, I know you got it a little before, so I was very jelly. So I tried getting it that same night. I encountered a fuckload of problems, and my brother can testify to this. First of all, I tried signing into Xbox Live. It wouldn't let me. So, you know, I tried, I don't know, 10, 12 times to do that. I just could not go in. So, you know, other instances I was able to sign in, but every time I tried to download the update, it always gave me an error code saying that, oh, no, I couldn't download it for some very reason, so you'll be automatically signed out. So it's like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on here? So, you know, I looked at Major Nelson's Twitter profile, and he wrote that a lot of people were encountering that problem. And I posted it on my blog on 1UP.com, and I received a few replies telling me that a lot of other people also had the same problem. I kept trying to download the update, couldn't let me. I kept trying signing onto Xbox Live. Most of the time, it wouldn't even let me. And here's a weird little thing. I was able to finally get the download, and I downloaded it, and it was all new, sparkly fresh. But when I tried signing into Xbox Live, I just couldn't. So originally, at first, when I encountered the problems, I thought, okay, this is my internet again. This is fucking up. Let me just – my brother even said, he's like, oh, try restarting the router. So I'm like, no, let's just wait a little while. And eventually I found out that it wasn't my router, but instead it was the servers for Xbox Live that was fucking up big time. And so I was able to finally download it, but I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just sign into Xbox Live the other day. So I signed in the other day perfectly, no problems, and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
From what I've experienced so far, it looks great. Everything is – the interface is completely clean. Everything is exactly where you want it to be, but you know there are some problems with it, which I will get to near the end. I will talk about it later. And overall, I like the new look. It looks extremely fresh. So yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, you have all the. You even have a search thing for Bing, right at your fingertips. And I mean, you really don't get too much stuff like that, you know. It's the little things in life.
Yeah.
You know, like a search bar application for when you're having trouble.
Oh. You know?
So, yeah, it is an amazing update. I mean, Microsoft did good. I mean, there's still a couple quirks to be worked out, but...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Overall, it's pretty good.
I mean, it's fresh. It's clean.
It's new.
It's
shiny.
If I had a Kinect, which I, you know, don't like at all, but if I had one... It would probably be the thing that would take advantage of it most because I'll just use my hands to swipe between the panes. Mm-hmm. And every time I want to look for something, all I have to do is say it instead of just, you know, type it in with my X360 controller, which sucks.
I mean, I would get a Kinect, but my main problem is no one on my friends list has that, you know, so it'd be pretty useless.
Yeah, no one on my friends. I mean, as far as I can tell, no one on my friends list really has that either. Which, you know, I kind of get. I understand because it's kind of gimmicky again, and there aren't really hardcore games for it. But you know, overall, I like the interface. I like the direction they're going with because it looks a lot more like their Metro UI, which is found in their Windows phones.
Windows Phone 7.
Because their OS is Windows Phone, basically, for mobile phones. So it's like, oh, so they're Windows Phone phones. So it's like, oh, goddamn, Microsoft. But yeah, overall, it looks great. It shows a good direction for Microsoft. It looks fantastically clean, shiny. And, you know, it just looks good. But I will get to a big issue that a bunch of indie developers are going through. I'll talk about it a little later in the show.
Yeah.
So with that, let's just move on right on to the next topic, which is a great segue. So go ahead.
Next one, Xbox Live has finally reached iOS devices. Microsoft has released an official Xbox Live app for all iOS-based devices, including the iPhone and iPad. The free app gives gamers access to their profiles, which will allow you to send messages, friend requests, and allow you to edit your motto, bio, and the rest of your profile. The app is basically a smaller portable version of the updated dashboard we just talked about.
Exactly.
Another Xbox app has also been released for Windows Phone 7 called Xbox Companion. So, you know, Windows Phone users, you're not left out of the loop. However, since I'm an Android user, I'm completely left out. Fucking Microsoft.
But let me just tell you from experience, because as soon as I heard about it, I downloaded the exact same day. And this looks fantastic. This is an extremely well-done app. I can tell that Microsoft really took their time with it. You have three separate panes on your app. You have the pane for your home, which basically has a spotlight videos and news for you to see. You have your social pane, which includes your avatar, where you can, you know, obviously you can edit it. You can even edit the way it looks. You can edit everything about it. You can see who's online. You can send messages, and you can send beacons, which was a new feature for the Xbox dashboard, which allows you to basically tell your friends, okay, we're going to play Halo 3 at 7 o'clock, so be here by then. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like a reminder service saying, okay, we're going to play this and this at, you know, this such time. And the last pane is your games pane, which basically shows your achievements that you've had through your games and the achievements that you have not yet gotten. And overall, this just looks fantastic. It looks extremely clean, well done. You have the same sounds you hear on your 360 every time you press on something, which is a little awesome. Let me see if I can just press it here so you can hear it.
Yep, I heard that.
So you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
I just clicked on my friends thing, which, you know, it's extremely well done. I can tell Microsoft really took their time with this. See? And they really took their time with this. It's extremely well done, extremely clean. It's just a great app to use right now. And it's pretty nice whenever I'm not, you know, signed into Xbox Live on my Xbox and I want to send a message to somebody. So it's pretty cool. I like it.
I can't put any feedback because they haven't released it for Android, like I said. So
I mean, they might release it for Android. I have no idea. I mean, maybe.
They should.
I mean, they should, but, you know, we'll see in time. But relating to Microsoft, if you will introduce us again, I apologize for the next story.
Okay. Sony is seeking a timely PlayStation 4 launch with the Xbox 720 and the Wii U. Sony reportedly looked for a timely launch of the next consoles alongside, as I said, a 720 and the Wii U. According to PlayStation Europe head Jim Ryan to an interview with Eurogamer TV, he states that, quote, "I think we should consider it undesirable to be significantly later than the competition with the next PlayStation," end quote. So, it seems like they're trying to take a lesson from their very untimely PlayStation 3 launch.
Oh, yeah, because As you know, if you don't know, it was originally supposed to launch earlier in 2006, but it got delayed to fall 2006 because of some manufacturing issues or something I've heard with the Blu-ray drive.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to send everything back. So I think, you know, just like you said, they learned the lesson. They're saying, okay, we don't want Microsoft to have a one-year lead anymore because we're seeing where that's getting us. Right now, currently, sales-wise, they are third. Though they're not that far behind Microsoft, they're third place right now.
Yeah.
With 360 second place, and we obviously first place. So, you know, as far as timing goes, I think this is a good thing for Sony because they learned a lesson from this generation, saying that, okay, we don't want you to have a one-year lead, so we're just going to, as soon as you say you're coming out in 2013, we're going to say it's coming out in 2013. We're watching you.
You got an eye on you.
I mean, but what do you think about this?
I mean, you heard my opinion just now. They learned a lesson. Mm-hmm. And as long as they remember that lesson, they really shouldn't have any problems. They should really this time take their time with developing the PlayStation 4. Because any problem, even the slightest one, it could be the wrong size screw in the console, it's going to set you back.
Oh yeah, big time, man. Because here's the thing: they can launch it the same day all they want. The bottom line is that it has to be a good console to begin with. Hopefully, as we've seen with the PS3, they arguably made the smartest move when it came to the PS3. Because let's look at it this way: when it first launched, it didn't do so hot. You had a console that was going for The 60 GB version was going for $599.
US
People
dollars.
didn't have that cash. A lot of people didn't have that cash, and they didn't have a lot of supplies to begin with in the US. They only shipped, I believe, around 300, 400,000 PS3s to the US initially, which was, first of all, huge mistake. First of all, a huge issue. Secondly, it was fucking expensive. $599? And but as far as going back to my point, they future-proofed the fuck out of PS3, because you had at the time people said like, oh, Blu-rays didn't do that well. I don't know, why would you put an expensive drive on a PS3 like that? When now all of a sudden here in 2011, PS3 is starting to catch up on the 360, and now you see that Blu-ray has really dominated for this generation. HD DVD is like, it's dead in the corner somewhere. No one cares about HD DVD anymore. Blu-ray is where it's at. And they're really doing well, at least for now. They were doing crappy initially, but they've done well lately. They've done extremely well with the PS3. And odds are they might go with the same strategy as the PS4. You might see something that will say, oh, okay, it's kind of dumb for now. But then later on it's gonna be like, oh, okay, this is great. But obviously, we have to wait. So, yeah, hopefully, bottom line, to just wrap it up here, it's gonna be a good console. Hopefully, it's Sony. But at the same time, we don't want them having the same timing issues as they did with the PS3, because obviously that kind of fucked them in the butthole a little bit.
Surprise butt sex.
Exactly. You know what? That's a good description. Surprise butt sex. Yes. My God, yes. Yes, in the butthole. Right there. All up in there. In the colon. But let's just shift a little bit from the PS4 to a more depressing news
Yes.
here. So if you will, I'll introduce this.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, Stalker 2. Stalker 2, what about it? I mean, there really isn't much to talk about it. It is, as far as we can tell, it's canceled.
Yeah.
GSC, I mean, you might as well,
GSGC Game World.
That is correct.
Let me put this in here. According to Ukraine News, the Ukrainian developer GSGC Game World, which is the developer for the famous Stalker series, has shut down. Rock Paper Shotgun, who has been keeping tabs on the story when it came out, said that they got in contact with GSGC and received a no comment at this point remark. And as we all know, Stalker 2 was due to come out in 2012. It's now kaput. It's in the sewer somewhere.
Oh yeah,
It might, it just might be the next ET.
I mean, it's. I mean, as far as this story goes, it's been a little swirl. First, they said, I mean, obviously, what you said, GSC was shut down by its owner. God, I'm gonna try to pronounce his name, Sergey Grigorovich. Oh God, I actually
Gligorovich.
got it. Yeah, I actually got it. According to that, the auto translation was complete shit. So, it might have been accidental, but the first update, GSC officially, at first denied it. They went on their Twitter profile and they basically tweeted, "That's bullshit. We're actually still existing." However, that tweet was later deleted. The site Rock Paper Shotgun tried to get confirmation, but GSC might have been down at the time. The third update was GSC officially responded to them. Like you said earlier, they had no comments at the point at this at that point, which was not promising at all. The second to last update was there a social media manager for GSC announced that he was looking for a new job. Which was, oh God, I mean, this is so, you can make a soap opera out of this.
All right.
And the latest update was on their official Twitter feed. When was this? December 9th, so 2 days ago, on Friday morning. They said there will be an official statement tomorrow, actually, related to GSC and Stalker 2. So, it sucks. I mean, every time you see a developer close its doors like that, mm-hmm. you have good working people that, you know, worked hard on these games, all of a sudden lose their jobs. So now they're jobless and they don't know what to do. Obviously, they can put their skills somewhere else, but as you know, in this economy, you know, that jobs are kind of hard. Yeah, that takes time. I mean, jobs aren't as hard to come by anymore, but it's a lot more time consuming now. Mm-hmm. And you just have good people losing their jobs, which sucks. You know? I mean,
and the Stalker series was a very innovative.
It's underrated. And it's underrated.
Yeah, it's underrated, but it's very innovative, okay? Because it takes a real life situation and turns it into a whole new experience, okay?
Yeah.
Actually, real life people were actually in the game. If you don't remember the original Stalker, Shadows of Chernobyl, you had the traitor, which you meet. And in real life, he was actually a former worker of the Pripyat disaster over at Chernobyl. So you don't only have an actual event, but you get actual people in these games. And to see this game go, you know, even though it's underrated, it's going to be missed.
Oh, yeah, for okay. sure. It's been a great series as far as I can tell. I've never had the pleasure to play them because I saw a few videos. I didn't think it would be something I would get super into.
Yeah.
But what I saw, it looked great. It looked like fun.
I played all of them, I mean, hardcore. You have environmental, you know, you don't only have to worry about the enemies, but you have to worry about the environment around you. As you know, with the actual Pripyat disaster, you've got pockets of radiation everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That is portrayed in the game. So you have to listen to your little Geiger counter, like in Half-Life. Mm-hmm. And once it starts beeping out of control, you're pretty much dead. Okay. You've got mutated animals. There's even one where you go into the reactor of Chernobyl. So
that's pretty cool.
It is an amazing game. And for GSGC to shut their doors, it's
depressing.
It's a real letdown.
Yeah, it's definitely a letdown. I mean, they're a great developer, they're a great studio. They make quality stuff every time you see something from them. It's just, you know, it just sucks that you don't really see them around anymore if that's the case. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, depressing news all around. So, hopefully you know, the best to them, so hopefully they'll get something done, right? It sucks a little bit.
It sucks a lot.
It's kind of depressing. It's a little bit depressing. But, damn, I'm trying to get my voice here. Speaking, I mean, let's just move on a little bit from depressing news to somewhat hopeful news. According to OSM, they've been told by a U.S.-based voice actor that actor has been recently recording lines for Half-Life Episode 3, which is interesting because up until this point, we've only received rumors of Half-Life 3 as a whole,
yeah.
but not Half-Life Episode 3, mm-hmm. which is, you know, previously Valve stated that they were moving away from the episode tag and they might have moved to a new entire game, but apparently, you know, according to this rumor, that's not the case anymore. As usual with games, every time you record audio, that is a sure sign that the game is nearing completion, since audio roles are usually done later on in development. I'm just reading off the article here on Xbox 360. OSM, duh. Obviously, you had the shirt last week from a developer, from a working in Valve, just had the Half-Life 3 t-shirt. We don't know if it was, you know, made by himself or made by the company. Point is, the voice actor might have been recording audio lines for Half-Life Episode 3. So, you know, since you're a huge Half-Life fan, as I can clearly tell, what do you think about these news? Because you have to be, every time you hear about Valve and Half-Life, you have to always be cautiously optimistic with it. Because you always want it to be released, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you never see it being released.
Well, I mean, as a fan, I have to take all this with a grain of salt, okay? This is just a rumor, okay? The entire Half-Life community has been wanting some form of a new game come out for the longest time, and it's been years.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's been ridiculous. It's been a ridiculous amount of time since Half-Life Episode 2. Okay? And we've just been left to keep playing the same game over and over again or play Gmod. Okay?
Yeah. And which isn't even a game.
Which isn't even a game. It's a sandbox application. Yeah. But there has been some activity in the community where on Gmod you have, you know, what fans would like to see, you know. Mm-hmm. You've never played Episode 2, so.
No.
In Episode 2, some woman, some doctor, I forgot her name, because I haven't played the game in a while, by the way. She's off to find a ship that has something to do with the storyline. No spoilers. There has been levels where you actually find the ship with Alex, and you're exploring the inside, you're fighting combat. But these are just fan-made shit, okay? Uh-huh. These are fan-made maps, you know?
Yeah.
We want some fucking progress, okay? Plain and simple, okay? Now that we hear that there's a possibility for a voice actor being hired for Episode 3, we're optimistic again, but we're keeping our eye on the situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, we're keeping our eye on the situation. You have the entire community now watching you bet this appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want a random phone call from Anonymous at 3:00 in the morning, and you don't know where your daughter is.
Hey, I agree with that. I agree with that because, I mean, you've had these, I mean, rumors of this swirling for God knows how long now. And, you know, for someone to finally say, oh, okay, I'm recording lines for a game. And, you know, at Episode 3, guys, look forward to it. It's like, I mean, in a way, the excitement for it has died down considerably. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they released Episode 3 right after Episode 2, maybe a year or two afterwards, people might have still seen it as, you know, incredibly relevant. Now it's like it's kind of losing its luster. I mean, over the years, you've had franchise ever since the last release for Half-Life. You've had great franchises continually rise up as far as multiplayer and great single-player action also. You've had series like Uncharted rise up. You've had series like Infamous rise up, delivering great single-player campaigns. You have the juggernaut Call of Duty delivering great multiplayer. And it's like now over the years, quality of games, the expectations have gone up considerably. So it's like at this point, is Half-Life 3 still stuck in 2009? Because we're about to enter 2012. And, you know, it's an incredibly different landscape than it was in 2009, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But hopefully Valve did enough, you know, if this actually comes out there enough to say, oh, okay, this Half-Life Episode 3 on its own is able to stand up toe-to-toe against, like, these quality titles.
Another problem you have to have is if they did make anything in terms of that game in 2008, 2009... they're going to have to redo that in a whole new engine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you've had... I forgot the name of their engine that they used. Oh, crap. No. The Havoc physics engine, yes, but their own proprietary engine, the one they made for Half-Life 2. Damn, I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, the Source engine. There we go.
Yeah.
Source. And it's an aging engine, to say the least. Because you had different modifications in games like Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2, but overall you can say with assurance that those games didn't look that great.
And don't get us wrong, because the engine is still valid. I mean, Gary's mod is a still valid engine, but that's sandbox application just for fun. We don't really take it too seriously in terms of video games, although it is technically a video game.
Yeah.
But you gotta have something new, something that's gonna be eye candy, you know. You know, it's gonna make your eyeballs turn into liquid, just like from the Indiana Jones movie. Okay, that sort of awesomeness that we don't really see a lot of in gaming nowadays.
Yeah, unfortunately, because I mean, obviously, now that we're going to 2012, as far as visuals go, the bar has been it's been raised incredibly high, with the likes of Uncharted. And even Battlefield 3 for the PC looks just absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But hopefully Half-Life Episode 3 of Indeed comes out, it's able to stand toe-to-toe and say, okay, this is a 2012 game. Because as soon as you start saying, oh, this feels like a game from 2009, that's when you know it's like, okay, this might fail a little bit. So, you know, moving on from 360 to numbers. Yeah, if you like math, you will probably get an erection when it comes to this nut story. The MPD has released their industry report. They released it yesterday for November 2011. Industry sales stayed at $3 billion as far as, you know, industry sales go. For the Xbox 360, it experienced sales up 23% year over year. They were able to sell 1.7 million units. Black Friday, they were able to sell over 960,000 units, and they were able to move 750,000 Kinects during the week of Black Friday. As far as Nintendo systems go, they were able to sell 2 million combined. This includes 860,000 Wii units, 795,000 3DS units, and get this, for some reason this is still relevant, 350,000 Nintendo DS units. This includes the DS Lite, DSi, and DSi XL. Sony has not released their numbers, which is kind of disappointing, but they did go on to state that the PS2 sales were up 70% when compared to last year. As far as software goes, this is the best November since 2008, which, by the way, 2008 wasn't a fantastic year as far as games went. Mm-hmm. Software sales went up 16%. It went up to $1.74 billion. With Modern Warfare 3 at the top of the charts, not surprising in a way. Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, excuse me, right behind it. Then you have Battlefield 3, Assassin's Creed Revelations, Just Dance 3, ew. Madden NFL 12, Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception, Saints Row the Third, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, which is kind of surprising. And Batman Arkham City rounding up the top 10. A few more numbers here. Legend of Zelda was able to sell over 600,000 units in the first week of availability. Sony saw a 30% increase in software sales for November when compared to last November. Software sales in total were, you know, again, I will repeat again, they were up 16% to $1.74 billion. They're up 15% to $1.67 billion when non-PC software is figured in. You have, as far as accessories go, my God, these numbers go on forever. Accessories fell 34% when compared to last year. It fell to $273.8 million, you know, obviously. But, you know, to be fair, Kinect was released last year at the same time. So, you know, comparing those numbers are like comparing apples to oranges. The Nintendo officially came out and said that the Wii's U.S. install base has increased to 37.7 million units, which is a gaudy number, just for the North America only. Xbox 360 sales, my God, oh my God. Xbox 360 unit sales grew 23% year over year, which means when compared to last year, grew 23%. You have, and no, I think that's about it. And the 360 holds a 49% share of the overall current-gen console market. With November being the ninth consecutive month, 360 has had more than 40% of the market share. Whew! So what do you think about these numbers? Because you can translate this all day long, as far as numbers
go. What do you want me to say about them numbers, really? They're numbers. They represent how good or bad the companies are doing. And for what we can tell, most of the news is good.
Yeah.
So hopefully that trend keeps up. Because I'd hate to wake up one morning and, you know, find that Sony might be closing its doors.
Yeah, definitely.
Just a little head up. Those of you who survived the video game crash of 83, 84, yeah, don't want that again.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Do not want.
But, you know, it's just overall, from what I'm seeing here, it's just good news for Nintendo, because last month they were reporting a bunch of losses as far as the game sector went, and they sucked.
Yeah,
they've been, I mean, God, I'm so critical of Nintendo. They just sucked this year. I mean, the Wii is basically dead in the water. Tell me, a significant release other than Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword for this year? That's right, nothing. That's the point. Nintendo hasn't released anything, any significant title for the Wii this year. Wii is completely dead, and yet it managed to sell over how much? Over 860,000 units. That's because it was dirt cheap. You were able to find one at Best Buy for $150, which was the new Wii that was not backwards compatible with the GameCube. It came with new Super Mario Brothers and the soundtrack because of the 25th anniversary, duh. And I don't know. I mean, Microsoft, you already can tell they're doing okay. Sony, they're going to do fine. Nintendo is the biggest question here because you see these great numbers for Nintendo, and yet you have to wonder, how's the Wii going to do moving forward when the Wii U is coming out next year, right? And, you know, now all of a sudden the Wii is, as soon as Skyward Sword, released, it's officially went back to the irrelevant zone, along with the Turbo graphics and its predecessor, the GameCube, because it's Turbo not relevant. Graphics. Exactly. And
where did you get Turbo graphics from?
It's irrelevant. Shit. It's in the irrelevant zone.
Holy ass monkeys.
But to state again, the Wii came out in 2006. You have a 9-year-old telling their parents, oh, hey, mom and dad, buy me the Wii. It's only $250. You don't have to buy me a PS3. That's $599. And, now all of a sudden, 5 years later, these kids are 14, and now they're saying to other kids, oh, hey, dad, get me a 360 because all my friends are playing Call of Duty, and they're playing Battlefield. And now these kids are growing up. And they don't want to play as far as I can tell, they don't want to play core stuff like the Wii anymore. They want to move on to what their friends are playing. And those friends,
big boys, toys.
Yeah, and those friends are playing Modern Warfare 3 and Gears of War 3 and Uncharted 3 and Infamous 2 and all these great games. And now the Wii is in this odd position where they're like, okay, well, we got Legend of Zelda and Mario and Sonic at the London Olympics. Yay! So it's like, come on, guys. The only thing they have right now is the fact that the Wii is cheaper than a 360. And even that's not saying a whole lot. Because, first of all, that Wii isn't even backwards compatible with the GameCube, so that completely sucks.
Yeah.
And I don't know. These numbers are great as far as, people like Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony goes, but you have to wonder, where is Nintendo going to go from here? Because you still have the 3DS that's gaining a lot of momentum, so that's going to be okay. But the Wii is not going to be okay. And especially with these rumors of, oh my god, the new Xbox, yay, PlayStation 4, same time as the 720, oh, Wii U 2012, oh. So it's like, okay, now the Wii isn't relevant anymore. So, we'll have to wait and see where this takes us, which
it's... Might be nowhere.
Exactly, might be nowhere. Speaking of Nintendo, and me continually talking about it, we don't know what Miyamoto's going to do. Okay? Let me just put some context here. Wired's Chris Kohler, he interviewed Shigeru Miyamoto. In the interview, it was claimed that Miyamoto was to step down into partial retirement. This did not mean that he would completely leave the company. Instead, he would step down to a smaller role and work with the younger developers so that they're able to rise up on their own.
Oh, so you mean his grandpa?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, fine. Whatever. But now, in an interview, in a Wall Street interview, which was, I believe, on Thursday, which was published on Friday, according to the publication, Miyamoto was apparently very healthy, and he isn't planning to retire anytime soon. The interview added that Nintendo has in place organization structures and a culture it thinks will be able to infuse his type of thoughtful yet fun designs into its products long after he is gone. Miyamoto went on to say, "We have to construct the structure so that the organization so that what?" God, this grammar fucked up. So that it can make it without me. He went on to say that I should also admit that it might be better without me. I mean that a different approach and different talent might emerge, though I shouldn't dwell on this because then the article might indeed say Mr. Miyamoto is thinking about retiring, because that is not the case. So in short, we thought Miyamoto was retiring. Now he says he's not. Now he says, okay, I don't want to word it that way. But you know, we can, what you can be sure is that he's going to step down to a smaller role now. He's reaching that age where basically now you have these very old mascots in Mario and Link over 20.
You could just word it like this, okay? With his age, he's going to become the grandpa of the company. Simple, okay? They just word it kindly. His talent is going to work with the younger generation of talent that they have. Okay, so you know what? Get a box of the pens, get him his remote, because he's done enough already.
I mean, you have to imagine how much he's done.
25 years.
For the company.
20 fucking 5 years.
He's been in the company for a very, I mean, that's understating it. He's been in the company. He's been a vital piece.
He's been with the company 4 years longer than I've been alive.
If it wasn't for Miyamoto, Nintendo would not be where it is today. That's bottom line. That's a solid fact. If you want to argue that, you will lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because Miyamoto created all these mascots. And without them, Nintendo would just not be where they are right now. At the same time, you have to wonder, like, okay, now we want this new generation to rise up. You know, us old guys have to step out the way for this new wave. And, you know, it's understandable. But, again, we just have to see where this goes, because apparently this is not totally confirmed yet by anyone, because all these stories are coming left and right. It's like, okay, what is he doing? Oh, my God.
He can't make up his mind, you know. He's making a lot of good money as he is now, but, I mean, he's an old guy. I mean, he has all these achievements, and he probably doesn't either want to or can't continue for long, you know?
No.
Remember, they say he's healthy now, but remember the whole thing with, what's his name, the former Apple co-founder? I forget, Steve Jobs? You know, we thought he was healthy, and, you know, he became coffin filler, so... You know, we gotta see where this takes us.
Wow, how sensitive of you.
I'm not a very sensitive person.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Oh my God. Well, I mean, again, you know, to wrap things up, he's not officially retiring, just so people can have that in their head.
But he's officially not retiring at all. Not retiring.
And he's officially not retiring. So we don't know what the fuck he's doing. But, you know, again, we'll have to wait and see. Again, this is a great segue. Speaking of Nintendo, which apparently is the main thing today, the new 3DS firmware update is live. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. There really isn't much to talk about. There is a new Nintendo Zone app, which basically can be used for interfacing with participating locations, which include Best Buy and Boingo, which, if you don't know what Boingo is, it's basically the Wi-Fi service that they have in airports. Through Nintendo Zone, your 3DS can receive special content such as videos and screenshots, as well as demos from free Wi-Fi hotspots. You also have an upgrade to the 3DS camera app, which now has a toggle for video or stills. You can also, this is very interesting actually, you can create a stop motion movie with your 3DS, and you can play it back right on your 3DS, which is kind of fun. I actually took it for a test spin when I first downloaded the update. For a 0.3 megapixel camera, the video recording is actually not that bad at all. It was able to pick up sound considerably well, though some of it might sound a little muted to people. The overall screen pits quality is not that great, but again, you're dealing with a 0.3 megapixel camera here. For the Street Pass Mii Plaza, you have new accomplishments, which are sort of a variation of achievements on a 360 and trophies on a PS3. You can see it automatically on your Mii Plaza. You also have a music player for Mii Plaza Music. You have new Find Mii stuff, such as a sequel to Find Mii 2, obviously. You have new puzzle swap puzzles. And some new Spot Pass connectivity to bring Miis into your plaza from the internet, though we don't know how it really works. And you also had a very small upgrade for reading QR codes, though we don't really know how you can improve on such a thing. So, moving on.
Okay, moving
I mean,
on.
It was a small thing. It's not that
yeah,
great.
Very small. Speaking of updates, PlayStation Home has been updated to version 1.60. This update brings a whole bunch of improvements, but the best one of them all is the limit of item placement, which has been upgraded from 50 to 100. And for a lot of you PlayStation Home users, that was a major, major complaint. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not going to talk much on this. I haven't even downloaded the SOB yet because
yeah, neither do I.
My 360, my PS3 has been sitting there gathering dust. Same thing
yeah,
with
so
you.
Yeah, so is mine. Yeah.
Okay. And moving on, Xbox Live Marketplace. What about the Marketplace? Well, there's been a bunch of games and stuff and a bunch of add-ons added on to it. Featuring add-ons for Saints Row the Third and Forza Motorsports, new avatar items, and a huge sale sponsored by Ubisoft, which was started on December 6th.
Yep.
Items include Beyond Good and Evil for 400 Microsoft points, all the way to Splinter Cell Conviction for mere $15. So if you have a bunch of Microsoft points or a bunch of cash you're not looking forward to keeping, go check it out. Buy yourself a bunch of new shit, because some people probably need it.
Oh, man. And let's just, let's see if we can just, okay. All right. So here's what, let's see, what's the last thing we got here? Okay. So let's just move on to the final story of the week.
And what would that be?
See, that's Spot's Live Marketplace. Okay. So let's just, let me just bring this up now since we're about to talk about it. A bunch of indie developers are very pissed off at Microsoft here. Let me just talk about it super fast. I know we didn't have it on our notes, but you know, since it's related, I thought it would be nice to you know bring it up. One of the main gripes for a number of independent developers is that it apparently takes 17 button presses to get from the home page when you sign in to access the top indie downloads, which you know a section that can be seen by some as a very as an extremely important source of revenue and publicity for developers.
Hold on. Did you just say 17 button presses?
That is correct.
That's worse than button mashing.
Yeah, they're saying that it just takes a long time to get from the from when you first sign in to the section for the top indie downloads, which a bunch of indie developers are pretty miffed about. They're not happy. They're not I'm losing my train of thought here. They're not very happy about it.
Who would be? 17 fucking button presses? Jesus Christ.
I mean, we all know that for indie developers, the money-making machine is these top downloads list. And when it takes so long to get to this list, not a lot of people can see it. That's where the problem lies. And it's not the problem that people are saying, okay, you know, it takes this long to get to top downloads, but it takes this long to get to my download, which is longer. My download takes about 22 button presses. So no, that's not the problem. The problem is that indie developers, they want to be actually seen on the dashboard because they have their own thing, Xbox Live Arcade, and they have their own program so it can develop games. So they should be highlighted, right? Apparently that's not the case because according to this, it takes 17 button presses to get from the homepage to the top indie download section, which is, you know, unheard of and frankly a little inexcusable.
17. Damn. My thumb hurts just thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, 17 button presses, man. Just take it exactly how it is. It's a little, yeah. It sucks as putting it a little mildly, and understating it. But regardless, it sucks.
Wow.
And yeah, that's pretty much as I mean, unless I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for this week.
Oh, you know what? Let me just introduce this now because I want to bring this up now. What I wanted to do is basically read off my That Gamer.
You want to read off That Gamer?
Yeah. Why the hell not? I don't know.
I don't know. How long is it? Do we have time? I mean,
How are we running here?
How are we running? I don't think this gives me the amount of time we're running. It just gives me the file size.
Oh, I should have just started the timer. Well, I'll just leave it for next week then.
But what we could do is, I think we should talk about this after this. That way we don't run over it. But it's a good idea that we should do a That Gamer thing, with the recorder we have. But we'll talk about it after this, and we'll probably put an update on the site.
All right.
All right. So I guess we're ending it here.
Yep, we are ending in here. And for, oh yes, yeah. No, wait, is it? Yeah. That's pretty much it. Thank you once again for listening. Once again, my name is Will,
I'm Ethan.
and we will see you next week.
Laters.